Hello, everybody. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah's over there.
I am indeed.
And Chris is over there.
Hello again.
Lent has been in the calendar of many countries for centuries. Whether one is a Christian or not, people often challenge themselves to give up something they like or something they really want for 40 days and nights. This week, we're answering this question. Have you ever given anything up for Lent?
Have a guess.
I bet you bloody well have.
I haven't for Lent.
Have you not?
No.
You astound me. Because you are
what?
A big faster, and no doubt we will talk about that.
I do love a fast, and I have many notes ready for this session. But I was trying to think why don't I give things up for Lent? And I think it's because I have to want to or be inspired to, and not that I have to adhere to some sort of religious calendar.
I see.
So I think it's always come around. I've been like, well, I don't fancy it, which is the wrong way. Obviously, you want to be disciplined in life. Go on.
Yeah, you said you don't want to be sort of. Whatever your words were, sort of bogged down or whatever by a religious calendar, you are nearly a vicar.
Amen, brother.
So at Christmas time, are you just going to be, no, I'm just doing a normal service. I'm not even going to mention.
We're having Easter eggs.
We'll do it in March, lads. I don't fancy December this year. I will not be ruled by your calendar.
Yeah.
Exactly. Jesus was born in September anyway, so who cares?
You're never going to win Vicar of the Month, which I assume is the thing the Church of England do. And if they don't, why don't they?
Maybe where they've gone wrong.
That's a different show. That is a different show in itself.
Yeah, it's quite a long show. But
okay.
I've not done it. I think I've not grown up in a traditionally Anglican family. So we weren't, as I said, kind of dictated to by these old rituals.
Right.
So, yeah. But I do love a fast.
And an Easter egg.
Oh, I love an Easter egg, yeah.
Okay.
I could talk about fasting later on if you want.
Okay, well, I think we should do. So you're not so much... Sarah, have you ever given up anything for Lent?
I have, over the years. Not kind of in a religious way, because I only have ever done it before I became a Christian.
Mm.
But, I remember when I was in school, I gave up chocolate and I actually did it. And I was quite pleased.
Done.
Yeah, quite pleased with that. And that first Easter egg on Easter Sunday was excellent.
Yeah.
I bet it went right to your head.
Oh, yeah. The sugar high.
You were
high.
Running around.
Oh, the rush.
Bouncing off the walls.
And what else have I gave up meat one year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also, I think I've mentioned it on the show before, I was a bit addicted to Diet Coke.
Oh, you have mentioned that.
Yeah, to the point where I kind of think it's because of that I ended up having to have some fillings. So
please,
you know, folks, be careful with your Diet Coke. But I decided to use Lent as a period to just go cold turkey and just not have it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually really did help. And I went from feeling like I needed to have it every day to like now I can drink it, you know, have it every now and then and enjoying it. And that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm. That's an actual addiction.
I think it was in the sense
Diet Coke.
That like
yeah.
But it did like a day without it felt
like an afternoon
wrong.
Without sunshine.
Quite.
Is it fair to say, Sarah, without sort of besmirching your good character, that you replaced Diet Coke with alcohol? Because and I quote
you
once
can't drink
I said
alcohol at the...
I said, "Do you have a sweet tooth?" once to you, Sarah, on this podcast, and you said, "I have an alcohol tooth."
No, I did not. I did not replace it. But you know what? Maybe one year I should give up the booze for Lent. That would be a good thing.
Uh-huh. The
problem. the problem was because it was in the company that I worked at.
Yeah.
We had a fridge stocked full of fizzy drinks that was just there for the taking.
Yeah,
and that was the real issue. I think if I'd had to go to the shop and buy it, would have been a bit different.
Well, then did they replace it then with bottled water? But then people thought, well, maybe we should give up bottled water because of plastics and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
see,
quite.
It's a never-ending thing, this. Just drink what's coming out the tap. It's the one thing that the council do provide. among other things, that's harsh on the council. So,
what about you?
Me?
Go on, Marcus. Yeah, have you done it?
I have, but I it wasn't my idea and I didn't want to. I was sort of forced. But I think I did it, though. So I, what happened was when I was a student, my housemates said, we're going to give up something for Lent. And the sort of, I think this is irony, the ironic thing was I was the only Christian in the house, and I was like, I'm not up for this, getting involved in this sort of Christian sort of thing. And they sort of said they were going to give up whatever it was, I can't remember. One of them was definitely booze, and that lasted all of 30 minutes.
Nice. But
they said to me that I needed to give up cornflakes, because I...
So they dictated what you were going to give up?
They hid me cornflakes. And for some reason, I just didn't go to the shops and buy another packet. I think, yeah.
She
and
did.
I've got
that kind of money.
Well, yeah, maybe that was it. But I think also I thought to myself, well, I'm going to find them. Oh, this is nonsense. But then you kind of, I thought, I'm just to spite them, I'm not going to give in. And you get into this nonsense. And I was the one, I can't remember if I lasted all 40 days. If not, I was very close. I did pretty well. But they all dropped off way before me. So I actually managed to put in a good showing.
I can imagine you being quite bloody minded about these things. Like, all right, then I'll show you, and I'm gonna do this.
Yeah,
yeah, and I did, Chris, and I did. I mean, I've never. I think the classic ones for people to give up things like coffee, alcohol, smoking. Mm. It's things that I can't stand cigarettes or coffee in equal measure. but at least
cornflakes,
I suppose,
are your vice.
Yeah, I think they are. At least if you sit next to someone drinking coffee, though, you don't, you know, there's no chance of you. You just hear annoying conversation rather than get any health problems. But one thing that, so last year, you may remember this, the Pope encouraged everyone to give up sort of, well, it was reported as give up social media and trolling last year. Have I pronounced that correctly? Is it trolling or trolling? I forget.
It's trolling, isn't it?
Trolling.
Either.
That's right, because you're a troll. Yeah, so give up. Yeah, social media and trolling. And he said, we live in an environment polluted by too much verbal violence, by many offensive and harmful words, which the internet amplifies. We are inundated with empty words, with advertisements, with subtle messages. We have become used to hearing everything about everyone, and we risk slipping into worldliness that atrophies our hearts.
Wow.
Gosh.
He's right, isn't he?
There's a lot of stuff out there at the moment about digital detox and how we're so dependent on it. A bit like Sarah is with Diet Coke, where you just, you know, you wake up and the first thing you reach for is your phone. And then the very last thing at night that we have is our phone, and we check that. And that's, it's not to say they're the only 2 points in the day, but we're so dependent on it. The first thing most of us do will be like, check the news or whatever it is that, you know, kind of your app that you're addicted to.
Yeah, but I don't mind the checking the news, because that's essentially like reading the morning paper that people have done for centuries. Yeah. So it depends how you're going about it, I think.
Would you, as a married man, Marcus, would you lean over and give your wife kiss on the forehead prior to reading the news on your phone?
Really wasn't sure where we were going then.
I was about to say, so do you get the old phone out?
Rein it in.
What's your page 3 substitute?
What are you giving up?
Yeah, right. Obviously I would. But of course, when people would read the paper, I imagine you wake up and you know you say good morning to whoever's in your house. It's just me and my wife. And then you would make breakfast, and then you would read the paper while sort of having breakfast, or maybe just after breakfast. That kind of vibe.
That would be my thing. The first thing we do now is not. I don't know if I always say hello to my wife first, or if the alarm goes off, and that's the point, is that everything's on your phone now. Mm. Actually, I was saying to someone, this is a side issue, but I was saying to someone the other day about how, do you remember being at school? And the teacher be like, you won't always have a calculator with you. And you're like, yes, I will.
So. Yeah, I mean, like, I've got a smartwatch, and I'm like, it's literally, I wear one all day. So,
Oh, yeah. I mean, years ago, someone might ask you the time. If someone asks you the time now, they are up to no good.
Someone did that a while back, and I was like, I'm not wearing a watch, sorry. And they were like, have you not got a phone? And I was like, and I just sort of quickly scurried away.
I'm on a digital detox. It's Lent.
And they're like, oh, I'm on a detox of like what, wearing a watch or something. I think I would look up at the sky and go, yeah, it's 3:15. And if they said, have you not got a phone? I'd say, well, why do I need a phone when we've got the sun?
Maybe for Lent, I'll give up time.
Well, some people need to take up time. Don't they? Some people's timekeeping, Sarah.
I'd like to give up Zoom for Lent.
Zoom. Oh, yes.
Sorry, that wasn't a, like a dig at you, Sarah, by the way.
My timekeeping is fine, thank you.
When it comes to anything that you're paid for, i.e. work, your timekeeping is impeccable.
Yes,
that's
thank
a
you very
lovely
much.
Backhanded compliment.
Yeah, hold on. Sorry, what? Has this turned into dunking on Sarah?
Are you on time for church?
Yeah, I'm always there before you.
Yeah, yeah, but
my one who texts us, Marcus, saying, sorry, I'm going to be late, chaps.
Listen.
Yeah, but at the start of this, you may have
Maybe
missed
you
it.
You should give up being rude for Lent.
I can't do it. I'll hold my hands up there.
Don't ask the impossible.
Well, do you know what, though? That you get some sort of crappy ones, don't you? When I was looking at sort of the top 10 things or the top 20 or whatever, you know, top 117 things people give up for Lent.
And one of Made up people, by an intern and some crappy magazine.
Exactly. Yeah. And negativity was one. And I thought, no, don't do that because some things are crap. You know, like it depends what, how you interpret negativity. Because if you're like, yay, it's lockdown still, you know, no, that don't be like that. But I think giving up gossip, that would be a good one. And this one of my points with Lent is, and you know, when people do Dry January, ultimately, I don't see the point if you just go back to normal. Like, what's the point of it? Well done, you went a load of. It's not gonna, you know, like if you're old and you like, and the doctor's like, oh, your health is a bit of a disgrace. Yeah, but I did Lent 3 years in a row. Does that not count for anything? No, it doesn't. Okay,
not lower my cholesterol a bit.
Exactly. Yeah. No. You have to do this all the time. Okay. If you're having 18 chocolate bars a day and you give them all up for Lent and you go back to it, it's not a good idea. So giving up negativity, no, it's just too vague and it's bollocks, quite frankly. Give up gossip, for example, and then try and employ that as a habit, if you see what I mean. A habit by not gossiping, even though gossip's a habit. I think I've worded that incorrectly, but perhaps you know what I mean.
I think it's making it... So this is the thing, isn't it, with setting any kind of goal, is it needs to be specific. Mm. So just saying, I'm giving up negativity, as you say, it's too vague. Whereas if you kind of have this one specific thing, you can measure it better, and that's something that can turn, as you say, turn into a habit that you're doing regularly rather than just some nebulous sort of feeling.
Yeah, because it becomes the norm, because gossiping is negative. So if you kind of drill down and go, right, I'm going to give up gossiping. Well, actually, if you manage to do that, then you will begin to kind of see things in a slightly more positive way. Yeah. And it has a bit of a knock-on effect.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
I mentioned this on a previous podcast. One of the beautiful things about turning 30, I know this sounds a bit daft, but I remember thinking, and I was working in like office jobs at the time, and for some reason, I don't know what it was about 30. Again, I don't know why my brain was working like this. And I wasn't particularly in
lack of cornflakes. You needed some more nutrients.
Maybe that's what it was, yeah. I needed to... I mix it up with Weetabix nowadays just to kind of have something a tiny bit more natural. But even though cornflakes are the lesser of the evils, bless them. But I remember turning 30 and I just remember... When you hear a lot of office gossip and all that kind of stuff, sometimes I would sort of try and wade in and go, no, you're being a bit harsh, or you're trying to be peacemaker. When I hit 30, I just remember thinking, as soon as I hear, I walk in the opposite direction. I just don't have to put up with this crap anymore. I don't know what it was about turning 30, but when you start to put in these kind of practices and so on, I think you'll find that life looks a little bit better.
It's interesting, actually, as you said, like when you don't engage in something, so if you give it up, and I remember there's been times where I've given up alcohol for a while, and then you go to a pub and then you start to see things differently than if you were engaged in that. So the conversations I used to think were riveting, I'm sat there going, I'm done, like I'm gone. Like when you're sober and everyone else isn't, then like when you're not connected with them through that thing, then... you just, I don't know, you're on a different plane. You're higher than everyone else, aren't you, Marcus? You're on a pedestal.
Come and join me, ladies and gentlemen.
Get up in the clouds with it.
Up on cloud number 999. Chris, we mentioned your fasting before. I am endlessly fascinated by your desire, but also I'm going to use the word ability, or perseverance would be perhaps better, actually, because we've got the ability to do it. The perseverance to fast. Now, I have fasted. I'll start us off, ladies and gentlemen, with perhaps
go
something.
Go in low.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get us off to a realistic start. The longest I fasted was It was, I should have, it's about 2 days, really. I think it was, it would have been, I would have had an evening meal, and then I would have slept, two days, maybe about 40 hours or something, but it was roughly about 2 days, because I sometimes will fast, rarely, but the odd occasion I might fast breakfast and lunch and then have dinner, which, you know, sometimes is harder than others. So I did the 2 days, and by the time the second day, that, you know, I was honing in on that evening meal, I was had a slight headache, if I'm honest with you. I was drinking water, because you can sometimes forget to drink, you know, I was having water and soup and milkshakes, anything in liquidized form's fine. I'm joking, Chris, don't worry, you might find that abhorrent. No, I was drinking water and maybe fruit juice, and I thought, my goodness, that was, I've only done that once ever, and I was like, woof, I was like scraping over the line at the end. But that is small fry compared to some of the stuff you've done. And some of the things you're about to say, you're a good mate of Sarah and mine's, and I've known you for years, and I do not doubt you, and I know you're not a liar and all the rest of it. But when you say what you're about to say, I do think to myself, is that possible? So go on. Talk about your fasting.
Can I just make a really quick request? Can you just explain why you're fasting? Like, what is that?
What, Marcus or me?
Chris, he's the pro.
You, Chris.
Okay, here
just
we go.
Just for people
Get belted in. So, I'll caveat this with, though. If you do have any unhealthy relationship with food, then do not do this, or do not, you know, that sort of stuff. So some, you know,
cause don't food try this become, at home, kids.
Food is a control thing. Like, I think if we can feel like our lives are out of control, and the reason I say that is I've also processed that. Like, is my love of a fast to do with actually control? Is it an unhealthy thing? I don't think it is. So mine is from a spiritual place, because I am so holy. Oh, that was a joke. So I will often start off the year and think, I really want to focus body, mind and soul on the year coming. So I have started off and I've done a 12-day fast.
12 days!
12
Sarah,
days.
Sarah, that's 12
Chris.
Days!
Even thinking about that, my brain is struggling. Yeah.
That's what I mean! 12 days! Every time Chris says that, I think I always say, like, as in like, 24 hours to a day. Are you sure?
No cheating, no food. And because it's only for me, there's no point cheating, is there? So
it's nearly 2 weeks.
True.
Yeah, but do you want to know the truth? Like, you said that you got to day two and you found like that hard. I actually think day two and three are quite hard. Day one was kind of like, oh, I haven't eaten today.
Day 11, like, 11, you're rocking and rolling, aren't you?
There were certain periods where, like, you could literally smile a salad a mile off, and you were like, I could smell that, smells so good, and I hate salads. So like, you're like, or someone's made a sandwich in the next house, and you're like, I could murder a sandwich. But it's what I found is there's a few things that happen. Is that there's also some, I watched the program many years ago,
12
and it
days.
Said that after 3.5 days, something happens to your blood where it starts to recalibrate, and you have your blood is better at dealing with things like insulin.
Is this that's not a bad thing, though? I'm guessing.
No, it's a good thing. Right. So this is why most ancient civilizations and religions and faith groups will have fasting as a staple part of their.
Of course.
Activities.
Well, Ramadan is the, you know, big one as well, and
exactly
for a lot of people.
Yeah. So and what I found really interesting is, so I do it for spiritual reasons, but I think a lot clearer on a fast. And I was doing some research, and it says that it does boost your brain functions when you're fasting because of all the change in your blood and stuff as well. And I literally can see life a bit clearer during the time of fasting.
But we should say, though, that, again, this is a proper fast. This is not, you know, some people would say, oh, you know, I haven't had lunch and my stomach's rumbling and I can't think about, you know, at the 3 o'clock meeting. It's none of that stuff. This is the real McCoy.
Yeah, it will be like prayer and fasting. So I'll be praying. I'll be like really, you know, kind of dedicating, as I said, body, mind and soul to, I guess, my faith and to kind of connecting spiritually, and also just to really focus on the year ahead. Like, And yeah, and the funny thing is that I get obsessed with TV food shows. So like, it's almost like, yeah. It's almost like, you sorry, I shouldn't use this analogy when I'm talking about fasting. It's almost like watching food porn. You're like, you're just like, I crave this thing that I can't have, and I'll make lists of all the dinners I'm gonna eat when I finish my fast, because I'll be like, oh, that looks nice. I've never had that food before and stuff. But like that.
How long have you done 12 days for?
What do you mean? Like,
I appreciate it lasts for 12 days. On how many occasions have you fasted for 12 days?
I've done 12 days once. I've done 10 days once separately as well. And then I've regularly done a week. And it's, yeah, it's good. It's
I find that extraordinary.
It helps me think. I think you said it before that. I remember going for dinner with you once. I wasn't fasting, thankfully. Yeah. And you were like...
That'd have been cruel. You're fasting, are you? Should we meet at Nando's?
Yeah, I'm paying this week. I think I get, because remember I gave up booze a couple of years ago for a year.
Yeah.
And I remember you going, you are a bastard for a challenge as well. So I think there's part of me in there, a bit like you, where like, all right, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it properly. And I think because I'm also really interested in what it does to us and for us and stuff as well. I don't just want to do like a token thing, which is just a tick box of my faith. Like, I'm like, yes. Let's see how far I go. And Jesus did 40 days. Like, so 12 days is doable, right?
I mean, when you put it like that, my goodness, all to shame, quite frankly. But I mean, he
was God.
He was.
To be fair, he had the edge over you with that one.
But I think that it's... I find that sort of endlessly fascinating. But when you're talking about fast, which a lot of people do, if you look at the reason why people fast for Lent and all that, is because of these kind of reasons, which, again, if you're using as... Well, I don't know what that's the right word, but if you're fasting for these kind of things, you know, you're kind of recalibrating yourself, yes, whether it's sort of body, mind and spirit, whatever you want to say. Whereas, this is what I mean, you know, again, I admire your effort for giving up chocolate, Sarah. And I think as a child, I think that
is pitiful.
Yeah, let's bring you. I mean, to be
age 12, Chris was just not eating, whereas I was like, please, Mama, just give me a crunchy.
I was walking over hot coals with bare feet.
Yeah, I feel like that was unfair of me. That was a tough act to follow.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was like a Rolling Stones reunion gig, and then oh, and Sarah and her banjo is going to finish the show with a couple of numbers there. No, but I think as a child giving up chocolate, I think there's something good, because that would teach a child. Presumably, that was a cornerstone of you turning into the fine young woman that we see before us today. But I think though that when people do say like a dry January or something like that, I'm a bit like, well, if that leads you to drinking a bit less or something, or if you do Lent and you go, I'm going to give up cheese for Lent, and then you stuff your face with cheese for the rest of the, and it doesn't, you think, what are you trying to achieve?
I think you're right. It has to recalibrate your relationship with that thing that you have been addicted to or that you've got an issue with sometimes.
And I think something that I didn't really understand before I became a Christian, when people talked about fasting, is I thought it was a sort of a punishment thing, and it was just about depriving yourself and making yourself feel bad.
Yeah.
And it was when I started to understand that it was using that time and using the feelings that you're feeling for kind of your spiritual development. And as you say, that recalibration, that makes much more sense, because that definitely played into that view a lot of people I know from the outside have of going, oh, it's, you know, religion's just about making you feel bad.
Yeah. Well, that's why that anyone who's going to fast or anyone's not sure about that, speak to Chris. You'll be wanting to go days and days with that. You'll never want to eat again, which is obviously a bad idea.
It's an interesting point, Sarah, that like we see it as almost like a punishment or something. But I think traditionally fasting would be done, and I'm going to say definitely in the kind of monotheistic religions, before a decision is to be made, which I find it really interesting now that science is saying it boosts your brain functions and your capacity. So I do find it very interesting. As I said, like I think I see things a lot clearer. So again, it makes much more sense that these ancient religions now actually had knowledge that science is now backing up in a way.
Very interesting.
And, yeah.
One of the things that I quite like about the history of Lent, because Ash Wednesday, of course, is the day that Lent sort of kicks off. And around that time, you have Shrove Tuesday, of course. They used to have Shrovetide football in the history. This goes back to in the history of you know, well, I suppose it's really English history more than sort of football history, which was essentially a game of medieval or mob football. So you'd have like two towns playing football against each other with like a goal post about the goalpost in 3 miles, you know, apart kind of thing. Absolutely glorious.
Like between communities.
Yeah, essentially that was what it was. I mean, the history books suggest that Shrovetide ball games have been played since the 12th century. But certainly in a particular part of Derbyshire called Ashbourne, nearly every year since the 17th century, you've had a game of this Shrovetide football. Obviously this year it won't happen because of the pandemic.
But you could have pancake masks and do it.
Exactly. There you go. Now you're talking. Oh, Pancake Day. Whatever. Never miss that one, I tell you. All that Lent business, that's optional. But when you get to Pancake Day, then you can go crazy. But I love that. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, here's just a few of the rules to make it a bit more clearer. Committing murder or manslaughter is prohibited.
That's good.
That is just the law of the land. Right. Unnecessary violence is frowned upon.
but not illegal.
No. The ball may not be carried in a motorised vehicle, which has obviously been added since as time has gone on. The ball may not be hidden in a bag, coat or rucksack, etc.
Fair.
No hiding of the ball. Fine. Cemeteries, churchyards and the town memorial gardens are strictly out of bounds.
definitely from like previous. Oh, yeah. Wrong.
Playing after 10 p.m. is forbidden. I think that's quite generous, 10 p.m. I would have thought it would start to get dark, but there we are. And to score a goal, the ball must be tapped 3 times in the area of the goal, which is usually sort of a post rather than a set of, you know, like a set of nets and a poor bloke stand there freezing his watsits off. You know? It's glorious. Two towns going up against it. That's the kind of thing I think your town in Wales probably would do, Sarah.
Oh,
2-day event, playing football for 2 days in a row, straight cabal.
Yeah, you won't catch me setting that up, I'm afraid.
Yeah, fair enough. Although it could get quite violent back in the day, you know. I think in that town in Derbyshire, they still like board up the shop windows and all this kind of stuff when it kicks off.
I love that.
Oh dear, no penalty shootouts though, Christopher. No. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever you're doing, whether you're having a go at trying to cut back or stop, you know, coffee, alcohol, television, smoking, whatever it is, tiddlywinks. Good luck to you, quite frankly. But do help it. Let it recalibrate your relationship with that thing, as Chris eloquently put it there. I think that's the message for today's show. Do we normally have a message? I think we do.
I know. I like it.
Yeah.
We like to wrap it up usually with like a Jerry Springer type thing.
and now for my final thought. well, I should I give the social media address, our accounts, after saying people might. if you're not giving up social media, at AQQAPod is where we are on Insta and Twitter, of course. So there we are. If you are giving it up, then leave off.
Stay okay.
On. But don't give up podcasts. That's bad.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. There we are. We'll be back next week, of course, answering another question. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Pleasure.
Thank you, good people. See you next week.